Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd ask if you will to go ahead and turn to our scripture today, which is the first chapter of John, my favorite nativity scripture. We're going to use it as a springboard today and as a primary scripture. I'll refer to a couple of other scriptures, but we probably will not turn there. This is, I believe, and I realize that it depends on which scripture I'm preaching on at the time that I may say this same thing. This is absolutely a mountain peak of scripture in the New Testament.
Amen.
I know that I cannot say one scripture is more important than another because that's not right. But this is foundational and this is one of the most amazing passages in the whole Bible. John chapter 1, we're going to read down through verse 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Hear those words. Speaking of Christ, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Beloved, before we read any further, and I will pray in just a moment, but I want to introduce this morning. As you come to this one verse, here is a test. Because to be a child of God is something that you must know. Not something that you can guess. Not something that you can say, well, I think so because I walked down the aisle when I was 10 years old. Not something that you can say, well, I'm a good person, so I must be. But you must know that you have passed from life to death. It says that these are the ones who were born not of blood nor of the will of the flesh. How many of you know all of us were born, first of all, by blood and by the will of the flesh?
Yes.
But some are also born of God.
That's right.
Of God.
Yes.
And you have to know whether you were born of God or not. Whether you have truly passed from, whether there is a second birth. If there is, you can point to it. You may not know the exact date because some will not always remember the date, but you can point to a time when you trusted Jesus completely with your life and you knew that from that point forward, you were not the same person that you used to be. And you now are born again. Now when someone wants to say, and I know you're students of the Word and I've taught you this before, but when someone wants to say that Jesus never said He was God or the Bible doesn't say that Jesus is God, go back, because we're going to read verse 14, but go back to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was God, and in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. And we know now we're talking about Christ. So the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And I want you to underline this phrase, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. We read this passage and it very clearly speaks of God taking on human flesh. And that's what Christmas is all about. That God wrapped himself in flesh and came to live among us. It is the message, Christmas is the message of grace. It is the message of grace. The foundation of our relationship with God is based upon the grace that he has poured out upon us. We were undeserving. And yet God came and he gave us grace. I believe that you are students of the word enough to understand what grace is. But it is primarily, not only, but primarily the undeserved favor of God. It is also the empowerment of God that comes with that undeserved favor. But I want to make a statement this morning, and that is this. Grace produces gratitude. Grace breeds gratitude. Let me rephrase it a different way. The awareness of grace in your life should produce gratitude. Some people walk with God, or let me just rephrase that also. I wouldn't call it walking with God. Some people are born again, maybe that's as far as they go, and they say they believe, but they really live under a burden of guilt. They do not understand the grace that has been given them, and so they're always living under condemnation and under this heavy burden of sins of the past and the present, and they don't know how to be free. They don't understand grace, and therefore they're not filled with gratitude. There's no joy in their walk with Christ. But the person who understands grace has gratitude, and that gratitude then births the desire to be obedient and the desire to please God. Grace produces gratitude. Guilt produces nothing but negative things and destruction in your life, destructive thoughts and destructive actions. Guilt is a joy stealer, and it will rob you of everything that God wants for you. I want you to walk out of here this morning, along with me, with having your faith lifted. Having your awareness of grace lifted so that you have some joy as you go through this Christmas season. That the faith and the hope that God has birthed within you would be stirred this morning. And in line with that, and sort of a sidetrack, but I can't stress the importance, and I'm preaching to the choir, but I can't stress to you the importance of regular, not sporadic, but regular, faithful attendance in the house of God. Faithful church attendance with the people of God. If it's sporadic, there will be. It may not seem immediate, but if there are gaps, you will open yourself up to a weakness that you may not even understand at first. And there will be a tendency then to have a drawing back, a pulling away from the things of God. When you come to the house of God, what is the atmosphere? It is an atmosphere of faith. It is the atmosphere of worship. There's an atmosphere, maybe not everyone, because sometimes we come in heavy-hearted, do we not? But when we come and the worship begins, the praise begins, we begin to sing the song, something begins for most of you, then something, if you're wanting Christ in your life, something begins to lift. You may have had a rotten week, and you may feel like you failed God all week long, but you're a believer, and you come to the house of God, and you come in burdened and downcast and really ready to give up. But you walk out feeling lifted up and saying, oh, why don't I walk in this all week long? Because we don't continue in that attitude of worship with our thoughts upon Christ. I'm going to have to move a little more quickly. You leave strengthened. You leave empowered. You leave saying, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. But if you forfeit regular attendance with the people of God in the house of God, it leads to a weakness in your life Because coming together with the brethren, worshiping God, is a source of strength and renewal in your life. When we walk out of here today, I want you to be able to say, like Jacob, I'm not letting go, Lord, till you bless me. I'm not letting go. In order to get to our destination this morning, I want to develop a thought. And that thought is this: what if Christ had not come? This will stir you to gratitude, I hope. What if Christ had not come? After all, Christmas is the celebration of His coming, isn't it? His entrance into humanity. Years ago, a British lawyer who was a great defender of the faith wrote a book entitled The Eclipse of Faith. The Eclipse of Faith. And in this book, he set up a scenario where he imagined that all influence of Christ had been removed from the world. That it was as though it had never been. He imagined in this book libraries, the libraries of the world, and all of the writings which are the result of the influence of Christ being removed, and what impact that had upon the writings of the world, the libraries of the world. He opened up his law books, and he found that all legal safeguards protecting children, protecting the poor and the innocent, were now gone. He opened up an art history book and found that probably half of it was no longer there, as many of the world's great masterpieces no longer existed. He opened up the books of literature and found blank pages where once had been the writings of many, many great masters, many men and women. He looked to the world of music and found that all the great Christian hymns had been removed, and many great classical works of music as well no longer existed. And millions of everyday songs. You don't realize how many songs. I was going to do this morning, but I'm not. But I could go through, because I have quite a history of secular songs. And I could go through, and you would be surprised if I began to tell you, well, this song wouldn't be here if Christ had not come. This song would not be here. Songs about love, songs about justice, songs about many different things would be gone because of the influence that you're going to see in a moment. The influence of Christ upon the world. He began to realize that the vast majority of hospitals were now gone. Orphanages no longer exist. Care for the elderly institutions were gone. Didn't exist. Places for the mentally ill to be taken care of, no longer there. He cried out and he said, I do not want to live in a world without Christ. Let's just consider, continue in that vein for a moment and consider some other areas. Number one, Christ's incredible influence over slavery. Christ's incredible influence over slavery. The Roman world at the time of Christ had about 60 million slaves. And slaves were regarded as on the same level as animals, or even less value than many animals. The Emperor Trajan made 10,000 slaves fight at one time in an arena for the amusement of the people, and then extended those fights for 137 days because it was so entertaining to the populace of Rome. Jesus came on the scene and he taught love and compassion in a way that no one in history had ever taught such things. He taught compassion for all men and the dignity of the individual. His teachings have led to the end of slavery wherever Christ and the gospel have been preached and widely accepted. Now, some of you who were younger, you've grown up and you have probably heard in school, and it's been drummed into you on television about how white America, what a horrible place this has been because of our history of slavery and our history of domination in the world. I want you to understand this morning, and well, they'll say white Christian America. I want you to understand this morning that at the time America was founded, slavery was the norm all over the world. There was slavery everywhere. And there still is some slavery today. And when slavery began to be challenged, it was because of men and women of God. It was Christians who raised their voices against the institution of slavery. And it was the church in Britain and America that led the fight against slavery and that has worked tirelessly to end slavery worldwide. It has not been the cause of slavery. Number two, Christ lifted up women. In his day, women were considered property very much like slaves. And they were considered to have very little, if any, legal standing according to what class of the populace they came from. Even in the religious leaders of the day, the Jewish leaders of Christ's day, there were those who wrote that a woman was worse than a dog, that a woman's word should not be counted as worthy of being heard, and that the law of God should never ever be heard coming from the lips of a woman. Jesus came on the scene, and you just don't even, until you study history, you don't realize when he reached down and he touched that sinful woman that was washing his feet. Or when he talked to the woman who was caught in adultery and showed her compassion. Every time you find Jesus talking to a woman or healing them or using them for the furtherance of the gospel, you find him lifting them up and giving them a dignity that they did not know in the world of their day. And everywhere that the gospel has been preached in purity, women's value has been elevated and they have been seen as honored. And to be treasured. Number three, Christ has influenced orphans in the world. Before Christ's entrance into the world, unwanted infants were often abandoned and left to die, left to be eaten by wild beasts. The influence of Christ, or through the influence of Christ, laws were enacted which prohibit such things. Orphans were rescued by the early Christians in the early church, where they were left out to die by the Romans. Christians would slip around and gather them up before the animals could eat them and take them to themselves and raise them. Orphanages were opened by Christians, the first orphanages in the world. What a horrible world if all of the influence of Christ was removed, if these things were reversed. And the darkness, you know, this world, according to the Bible, is filled with darkness. But I'm just telling you, it was a much worse place. And if all of the things that I'm mentioning were reversed, you would have been born into a place of unspeakable cruelty. A place that you can't even fathom today. A place with no hope. We should be filled with gratitude this morning. Just not only this, but for what Christ has done. His influence in the world. It's His grace that we're going to see. Grace breeds gratitude. But you see, Christ was not born of human flesh just to affect the world and its systems. He wasn't born of flesh just so that we could talk about these things that I've just mentioned. But Christ took on flesh to bring light and transformation to the soul. To transform the whole person individually. To bring salvation. To bring deliverance to you as an individual. To take those whose lives are wrecked and ruined that anyone else would give up on. And transform them and lift them up and give them lives of victory and great hope. The Christmas song, O Holy Night, is one of my favorites. It has so many powerful statements in it. But this line says, long lay the world in sin and error pining. That means sorrowing. Long lay the world in sin and error sorrowing till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. And the soul felt its worth. If Christ had not come into the world, you would be born with no sense of purpose, no sense of value upon you, no worth attached to your soul. But you would just be born into a meaningless system or existence with no hope of anything being any different. Without Christ, You would, and I will tell you this morning, if you don't walk with Christ. Without Christ, you will never feel that you are of value, except to yourself, maybe. Without Christ, you will never feel that you have meaning, that you have purpose. Without Christ, the world would still be filled with multitudes offering up animal sacrifices, because it's in the human heart to feel guilt and shame. You would be lost in sin and without hope. Without Christ, you would still feel the weight and the guilt of your sin every day and everywhere. Without Christ, you would have no mediator. You would have no access to God. Without Christ, you would not know what real love is, because Christ came. And now listen, you can think back. If you take all of the religions of the world, you're not going to find anything like this. And if you look even into the Old Testament, in Judaism, love was never revealed in its fullness until Christ came. And when Christ came and he said, God is love, not just God will show you love if you do this, or if, when he came and he said, God is love, that was revolutionary in the world of his day. And it brought about tremendous change, that one truth that God is love. You would not know real love. No other religion speaks of God as the embodiment of love. Without him. You remember that scene in the Old Testament, Mount Sinai, burning with fire and smoke, and the voice of God and the people at the base of the mountain, and they could not come near because they were so filled with terror. Because if they came near in an unworthy manner, they would die. And God had told Moses to bring the people so that he could speak. And the people heard God speak one time, and they said, you go up from now on. Don't ask us to go up. You go up, because we may die. And they were filled with fear and trembling. That was the closest. I want you to overlay that with your life right now and understand what grace has been poured out upon you. When you go home this afternoon and something happens and you immediately turn and you say, oh, Lord, help me in this situation in the name of Jesus. You would have none of that. The closest you would get to God would be that scene of the fire on top of Mount Sinai and you standing at a distance saying, someone else speak to God for me. Without Christ, you would have no hope beyond the grave. No resurrection. Hell would be your destiny for all of eternity. And yes, that's not popular, but I'm telling you this morning, I don't care what your peers tell you about hell. It doesn't matter what Rob Bell, popular writer today, supposedly Christian writer, has written about love wins, that there is no such thing as hell. It does not matter what foul books and movies like The Shack, which at their core teach universalism, that all are saved and none are lost. Doesn't matter what's popular in your culture. The Word of God makes it very clear that without Christ, there would be no way for you to come into the presence of God for eternity. And if you did, because some may think in their hearts, well, that's not fair. If you did, you would be out of place. You are not able to exist in the presence of God unless Christ dwells within you. Hell would still be real. But without Christ, it would be every one of you and mine. It would be our final address. In Luke, we're not going to turn there, but in Luke chapter 15, Jesus is talking about how guilty the Jewish religious leaders were because he had come and they had not responded. They had not listened. And in verse 22, there's this phrase, if I had not come. If I had not come. This morning, what if he had not come to you? Beloved, if he had not come and there was no New Testament, we would end all of our reading of the Word of God with the last verse of the book of Malachi. The last verse of the book of Malachi says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. If Christ had not come, that would have been the end of God's word. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And the Bible says that we are all under the curse of sin and its judgment apart from Christ. But with the incarnation, Christ becoming flesh, God taking on human flesh, there was brought into this world a channel of grace, a fountain in the earth of grace. For ultimately, he came for the broken and the hurting of humanity. Look at the gospel accounts. If Christ had not come, I want you to begin. What I have tried to do is tell you what the world would be like, but how much more he came for your soul and for your whole man. Begin to overlay these things with your own life and see with spiritual eyes. If Christ had not come, the man at the pool of Bethesda would have remained there on his cot for the rest of his life without hope. Blind Bartimaeus would have continued by the roadside begging. One of my favorite New Testament stories is Jesus healing the son, the dead son, raising the dead son of the widow of Nain as they come out of the city. If Christ had not come, she would have carried that boy right on to the grave and buried him. Mary and Martha would have continued to grieve for Lazarus by the tomb. Lepers would have died in agony. John the Baptist would not have said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Every one of these people who were touched by him were recipients of grace, the undeserved favor of God. And the results were overwhelming in their lives. Gratitude. Gratitude. Are you grateful this morning that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. If He had not come, Zacchaeus would have continued to cheat people. Maybe some of these speak of your life. The Gadarene demoniac would have remained hopelessly bound, his mind tortured and confused, out of his mind, living among the tombs. And Saul, the Christ hater and persecutor of the church, would have seen no light on the road to Damascus, and there would have been no transformation. There would have been no great apostle Paul and no writing of over half of the New Testament. If Christ had not come, there would have been no cross to span the horrible gulf between God and us, the gulf of hell. No escape for us. There would have been no joyful songs of praise this morning or ever in your life. No gospel songs telling of His mercy and His grace, no hymns declaring His greatness. William Cowper would never have written the words to the old hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." George Bernard Shaw would have never written, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame." There would have been no resurrection, and every one of you and I would have to bend over the beds of our dying loved ones and bid them goodbye forever, for all of eternity. There would have been no Pentecost. How many of you appreciate Pentecost? There would have been no Pentecost, no power of the Holy Spirit, and therefore no great mission work of the church transforming nations. There would have been no great outreaches to the poor and to the oppressed, and there would be no church, no gospel message, and you and I would remain doomed and lost forever. The story does not end with Malachi's dreadful curse. But come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe you've had a hard week this week. Cast your burden upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened to you. In the world, he says, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, because he did come. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, undeserved favor, the free gift of God, because he did come. When I was a teenager, I know LG will remember this. When I was a teenager, one of the popular Jesus songs was, "Didn't he shine? Didn't he shine?" And those words, as I was writing this, I just wrote it out from memory because they've stuck with me all of these years. To a world of fear and darkness came a light as bright as day, with a song of hope and words of kindness. He came to show the way. Oh, his face was not recorded, nor the color of his skin, but his words rolled down upon the darkness and touched the hearts of men. And the people called him Jesus. He was the man for all time, just a simple man called Jesus. But didn't he love? Didn't he shine? Oh, the gratitude that wells up in my heart because of what he's done. You may have come in here today. This is a simple message. You may have come in here today and this week before Christmas may be overwhelming to you, this week coming up. Maybe it's been an overwhelming season in your life. It has nothing to do with Christmas. Beloved, without Christ, that's what your life would be week after week, month after month, year after year, and you'd have no hope of anything better. No hope, much less faith to rise above it and to be able to walk and stand. Maybe you've come in here this morning and this week you're burdened by your own failure, by your own sins. Without Christ, there would be no message of forgiveness, of grace. You would continue with your guilt and your condemnation. Maybe for you, 2017 was not so great. You'd have no hope for anything better next year. Probably just the expectation that things will only be worse. No message of faith. Maybe you came in here this morning and you're distant from God. You would have no hope of being able to draw near. No hope that things can be better between you and God. And as I said earlier, your relationship with God would be that of the people at the foot of Mount Sinai. And dare I say, maybe someone in here this morning doesn't know him at all. Lost. Without him, you couldn't hear anything this morning about a way that he has made for you. About what he's able to do with your life. Maybe you're caught in a spiritual battle and you know it. And it's too much for you. Without Christ, that battle would already be won by the enemy of your soul. But with Christ, he calls you this morning to stand in faith, to trust him. Maybe you're wanting to give up. I would dare say that there are some in here this morning who just want to give up the fight. Don't. Because he did come. Because the Word was made flesh and did walk among us. And we did behold his glory. You say, I didn't. Oh, all you have to do is read right here and you'll find it. And it will be revealed to your inward man, the Bible says. To inward eyes, to your soul, to your spirit. And we did behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Trust him. He is the Father of grace. This morning, when you walk out of here, those who are believers, when you walk out of here, no matter what the struggle has been, and no matter what this week is like, you should be filled with gratitude that He came. And when you look at whatever Christmas stuff you see this week, that should be the focus. That He came, and if He had not come, where would I be? Where would this world be? But where would I be if He had not come? He is the Father of grace. Be filled with gratitude and then express that gratitude to Him through thanksgiving, through faith, through obedience, and through loving Him. Let's stand.